Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth, the authors of the new book, Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. We're spending time with Agrippina, Nero's mother, because that, well, modern psychology says that's everything. However, at the same time, Agrippina deserves attention because not only do we know that she's the daughter of three of the very famous and celebrated Germanicus, the daughter of Agrippina, Germanicus's wife, she is the granddaughter of, well, she descends from the Julian-Claudian dynasties. They come together here at this time in the 30s and 40s. But she also has ambition to be princeps or near to princeps, to rule through the princeps, who's her son. But in order to do that, with Anahabaris, her husband, gone, left the field, he's dead, she needs to marry Claudius, the new emperor who rises, we believe. Anthony, again, this is a mystery to me. Did Claudius know that Caligula was going to be assassinated? Was he part of the plot?
I think it's quite possible that he didn't. It was all a plot which involved him. But if so, it was very well handled, and we don't know. And we've not been told in so many words. By the way, well, I should just remind you that Claudius is Agrippina's uncle.
Agrippina's uncle, yes. But first he's married to Messalina. And we need to spend some time with Messalina, just a moment, because she's another force of nature in Rome. Her force of nature seems to be to conquer men through sexuality. But at the same time, she humiliates Claudius all the time because of her many... They're not really affairs, they're trysts. And Claudius accepts it. What do we need to know about Claudius? Was he a weak man, a strong man? He's responsible for that second invasion of Britain, which is why...
Because he was disabled, he was kept out of public life, and so he was given no training at all by Augustus and Livia and the other members of the family. So it was a complete surprise to most people. When he emerged as emperor, and he didn't have any military experience, which was usually rather a disaster. So Claudius was not weak, but he was rather eccentric because of his furious upbringing. And but in many ways, he was rather a good ruler. And had many achievements to his credit. For example, the development of the port at Ostia, so that it could cope with the economic demand.
And Messalina was a threat to him, but eventually she leaves the stage. And now we have a contest to see who will be the new Augustina, the new empress. And there are two rivals to Agrippina. I would never want to be a rival to Agrippina. she's ready to use witchcraft, poison, defamatory remarks. She takes on everyone around Claudius, including a previous wife, I think. One of the contestants had already been married to Claudius.
Yes.
And she wins through with this determination to join Claudius on the throne. What does Claudius make of her? Does he have an opinion? He writes a lot.
Well, you can't really tell, because once they're married, she is completely in charge, and you can't really burrow through to what his real feelings were, except perhaps towards the end. Right at the end, it looks as though he was beginning to come round to supporting his son Britannicus in a way that he'd not done before, and that alerted, set off alarm bells in Agrippina's mind, and it was that which led to the poisoning of Claudius.
Yes.
But until that, before we get there, Claudius, she was a very good manager of the Senate, as I was touching on earlier, she knew how to get things done. Once she was in command, the state ran very sweetly.
The detail here that we need to pay attention to is the education of Nero and his stepbrother, Britannicus. Britannicus is named for Claudius's supposed conquest of Britain. Claudius spent some time in Britain and he came back. Caligula, I understand, had set up the camp for the invasion, but he died. Well, he'd been assassinated. Claudius went through with it, and his son is Britannicus by Messalina. Now, that's a direct line to the future. That's the successor. Agrippina has to move Britannicus aside. The way the plot goes, Nero's a few years older. Is Nero, at this point, she hires Seneca for Nero? Is that correct, Anthony?
As tutor, yes. That's right. She wanted him to have the best possible education, and she wanted him trained in the art of governing. Seneca wrote a special essay called On Clemency, On Mercy, where he talks about the importance of calm and forgiveness of enemies and so forth, a general winding down of violence and in favor of propriety.
Britannicus and Nero are being educated together. Is Seneca also teaching Britannicus?
Probably, although maybe not in quite the same class, because Britannicus is a bit younger. One supposes, although we're not told in very much detail, that Nero went to school with some of his aristocratic sort of coevals, he went through the usual curriculum. Seneca, however, was not old-fashioned. He has very advanced educational ideas. He thinks that new pupils should enjoy themselves. He thinks they should be praised and patted on the back when they do well and so forth. Not habits known for Roman education.
A detail about how Claudius regards Nero. He adopts him. Is that as good as being the son of, to be adopted by the emperor?
Yes. It's very important. Quite a common development. When a Roman aristocrat didn't have an heritable son, he would hire somebody else to be adopted, and that person would be the inheritor of the family estates.
This is when Nero transforms himself from being Domitius. His full name is Tiberius Claudius Nero Drusus Germanicus Caesar. He becomes Nero. He is now being educated by a very famous Stoic who writes well, who is witty. No matter how many you kill, you can't kill your successor. I think that's wonderful, Anthony.
Great line.
Yes, it is. We should remember that in our politics here in the 21st century.
Yes.
Especially during these days of world fear. So Agrippina now has a son who is eligible to be successor to Claudius, but she has a rival in Britannicus who's actually the son of. But as you say, the Romans regarded adoption as good as birth, because it's so difficult to concern yourself with medical practices in those days. There were so many births that were not successful, and children died young. Now, the detail also, we need to pay attention to Seneca, because he's teaching the two words you emphasize, pietas and virtus. Pietas is loyalty, duty, and respect. Virtus is manliness, bravery, character. Did Nero believe those? Did he take the lessons well?
Hard to say. I would hazard a guess that he resisted. What he wanted to do was go out at night and get drunk and annoy the local population. He wasn't very concerned in his teens with the proprieties.
Also, I learned from you that the Stoics, maybe all the Romans, disdained popular entertainment, much like, say, the 19th century, my reading, disdained the actors or people who were on the stage as disreputable, and they were always worried about them. Did Seneca disdain performance?
Yes. He didn't like spectacle. He didn't like the arena, the best in the arena. He was interested in the higher arts rather than the common popular pursuits.
All right, it's 54 AD now, and Agrippina has decided to make her move. And the story again turns theatrical. It's about mushrooms. Anthony, I don't want to tell this story because it's not believable. How is it that Agrippina plans and does murder Claudius, the emperor of the Roman Empire?
Well, he loves mushrooms, and she arranged for a dish of his favorite mushrooms to be brought forward, one of which was the most juicy looking, she ate another one, so rather tested the propriety of the food, and he, of course, snaffled up the delicious looking one, which didn't really work very well, but as he always got drunk and always got vomited in the evening, nobody was particularly worried. A second dose apparently was somehow administered, and he expired.
So we think they poisoned him twice, and they is Agrippina and Locasta. Do I remember that correctly?
She seems to be a sort of chemist, who is a pharmacist, the sideline offered the useful poisoning services to discontented wives.
No one is much told that Claudius is dead. They take him to the funeral pyre right away and put his ashes in an urn. However, several days later, theatrically again, Agrippina arranges it so that Nero appears in the emperor's purple and Britannicus is not much to be seen. Nero at 54 AD, he's a very young man. You can do the calculations. He's 16, 17 years old, is now the emperor of the Roman Empire with his mother. When we come back, with Agrippina now understood as the threat to the Roman Empire, and after the first 5 years, Nero removes her in a fashion we've described. What is Nero's threat then with his mother off the stage? The book is Nero, Matricide, Music, and Murder in Imperial Rome. Anthony Everett and Roddy Ashworth are the authors. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.